The Pali word for meditation, bhavana, means to develop. In this case, we're trying to develop good qualities in the mind. We're going to dedicate those qualities to Dan, passed away 2 days ago. You think about all the good things he's done for us. Now we want to repay him. Now that he's gone, this is how you have to repay, by doing good things. What in Pali is called punya. It's often translated as merit. A better translation might be goodness. Try to develop good things in your thoughts, your words, your deeds. Develop the happiness that goes with developing goodness. And then dedicate that happiness to him. There's some way that he knows what we've done. And he approves, that becomes his goodness. Because the nature of goodness is that it doesn't have any clear boundaries. All too often we think that the good things of the world, somebody gains, somebody else has to lose. That if you do good things for yourself, you ignore other people. But the Buddha pointed out there are ways of developing goodness where you benefit and the people around you benefit as well. So engage in those things, things like generosity, virtue, and meditation. We come in an event like this, and the Buddha has us reflect on the fact that we too are subject to aging, illness, and death. Dan's not the only person who's passed away. There are many people in the world who have passed away. This is one case, though, where it's coming close to the bone, close to our hearts. We feel it more. We read about 300,000 people dying every day. And that's just human beings. Then there are all the animals that die. Countless numbers. So as the Thai translation of that passage says, Marana tamomi, death is normal. And we have to prepare for it. Because the Buddha saw on the night of his awakening, when you die, that's not the end. You move on. He also saw that moving on is pretty uncertain. In the first knowledge of the night of his awakening, he saw that sometimes his birth went up, sometimes it went down. He would do good things in his lifetime and get reborn in a good place, but there are times when he did good things and he got in a bad place. There seemed to be no pattern. What was life composed of? You're born, you have an appearance, you look like this, your name is this. You're this kind of being. You eat, you have pleasure, pain, then you die. Then it's again, appearance, pleasure, pain, die, over and over and over again. It all seemed meaningless. It wasn't until the second knowledge of his night, of that night of his awakening, they saw that there was a pattern behind all this, and it depended on your actions. You did skillful things, acted on skillful intentions, and the results would be good. You acted on unskillful intentions, the results would be bad. But there was a complicating factor that one lifetime you didn't do just one action. You had many actions. And sometimes the results of actions would last not only for one or two lifetimes, but for many lifetimes. That's why the pattern seemed to be so unruly at first. Tassana was the goodness that we do in our thoughts and our words and deeds. That's what protects us. At least gives us some measure of protection. So we work on that. It's that vision of the universe. It was from that vision of the universe that the Buddha was able to gain his awakening, to see what drives all this, and so he could find some way out. But he didn't teach just the way out. He also taught the way, this is how you negotiate this pattern. That the mind, as long as there's clinging and craving, is going to keep on wanting to be reborn. And it's going to be able to do it. So you want to do it in such a way that you have something to show for all this. Because there's a lot of pain. As he said, the tears that you've shed as you've gone through these many, many lifetimes. Think about it, many universes of lifetimes. This is more than the water in the oceans. All the oceans of the earth. It's a lot of pain. So what are you going to do to make it worth it? You try to develop good qualities in the mind. He said there are seven treasures that go with you. We have that chant about how the world has nothing of its own, one has to pass on, leaving everything behind. Well, that refers to your material things and a lot of your memories. But qualities of the mind, habits of the mind, those go with you. They would take good qualities with you. Because as the Buddha said, when good qualities go with you, they're like a shadow that follows you. It doesn't place any weight on you at all. Whereas the bad things you've done follow you like a cart that you have to pull. And it's heavy. And the wheels will wipe out your footprints. In other words, whatever you're trying to do gets wiped out by the bad things you've done. So you focus on those good qualities. There's seven that he calls treasures altogether, noble treasures. The first is conviction that the Buddha is right. Human action is powerful. It does determine your life, and not only this life, but future lives. You say, what kind of treasure is that? Well, it protects you. It's a good habit to have. Because you can't take material things with you, but you can take good habits. And the good habits then are really good in the sense that they make you develop more good habits wherever you go. So in addition to conviction, you have a sense of shame and a sense of compunction. Shame is when you realize that if you think of doing something and be unskillful, you'd be ashamed to have the people you respect know about that. That's a guardian of the world, the Buddha says. We're often told that shame is a bad thing. Well, there are different kinds of shame. The shame that's the opposite of pride can be debilitating. But the shame that's opposite of shamelessness, that's a treasure. It keeps your actions within bounds. Same with the next treasure, which is compunction, which is the feeling that you know if you do something that's not skillful, there's going to be suffering down the line, both for yourself and for other people. And just the fact that there would be suffering, that's enough to discourage you. In other words, you really care about the results of your actions. You're not apathetic, you're not callous. You care about the amount of suffering you create in this world, trying to keep it as small as possible. Again, this is a good habit to have. When you can't take things with you, you take good habits. So you can create more goodness. And there are three more qualities that are treasures. One is knowing the Dharma, having some sense of what's right and what's wrong, what's skillful and what's not. That's the treasure the Buddha left for us. As I said, his duty as a teacher was to give us a strong sense of how we could figure out what should be done, what should not be done. Because our lives are shaped by our actions. It's not the case that the Buddha could have laid out everything in every detail, how we should do things. He gives us the general principles, that we can take those general principles and apply them. So having knowledge like that is useful. We fill our minds with so much garbage. Think of all the stuff we've taken in through the media. How much of that stuff can you really use? You think of all the silly songs that go through your heads. Wouldn't it be better to have passages of the Dharma go through your head to remind you what's right, what's wrong? Have a sense of heedfulness. Because that's what goodness basically comes from, a sense that your actions do make a difference. And there is the danger of abusing this power you have in your actions. If there were no dangers, you wouldn't need to be heedful. Everything would be fine. But if your actions did not make a difference, then heedfulness wouldn't serve any purpose. But your actions do make a difference, so you've got to be heedful. Pay careful attention. Anything that reminds you of that in direction is good. There's a tradition in Thailand that divides ceremonies into two types. Auspicious ones and inauspicious ones. The inauspicious ones are the ones like tonight's ceremony. It has to do with someone's death. But that idea is not a Buddhist idea. It's a Brahmanical one. As the Buddha said, anything that makes you heedful is auspicious. It's a protection. to think of the knowledge you have of the Dharma as your protection. It gives you guidance, where the world would give you all kinds of bad guidance if you listen to it. Next quality is generosity, the willingness to share. This is a good habit to have, a good habit to take with you, because it means that your mind is open to the needs of other people. As the Thai phrase says, when you eat alone, there's no happiness. It's when you share that you gain happiness. Think about the first time when you were a child and you gave something away voluntarily, not because your parents told you to, or because it was somebody's birthday or some holiday, but simply because you wanted to give it away. That was your first real experience of the freedom of choice, that you could have consumed that item yourself, but you'd rather give it to somebody else. It's a sense that there are higher pleasures in the world than just consuming. The pleasure that comes from sharing, the good qualities of the mind that come with sharing, those give a deeper happiness. The Buddha really valued the treasure of generosity. This is why the monks are under strict rules. That when someone says, where should I give this? They're saying, well, give where you feel inspired, where you feel that it would be well taken care of. In other words, you try to maintain that freedom of choice in generosity, because that's what makes it heartwarming. When you give because you have to, well, it's just because you have to. But when you give because you want to, that warms the heart, it expands the heart. That's a good heart that you want to take with you. And finally, discernment. Realizing that the suffering that we have in life, even though there may be bad things happening outside, the question is whether we're going to suffer from it or not comes from our own internal actions, our thoughts, our attitudes. So if the mind is weighed down by suffering, you have to ask yourself, what am I thinking? Where is my thinking wrong? What am I holding on to that I shouldn't be holding on to? When you think in these ways, you begin to realize you're holding on to a lot of things that, even though you may like them, are causing you to suffer. You'd be better off letting go. And that habit is going to be what carries you through. So that even though there's a lot of aging and illness and death in life, you don't have to suffer from it. Again, use your ingenuity, use your discernment to figure out how to live in this world, but not suffer from the ups and downs of the world. That's a good skill to have, a good habit to have. And this willingness always to look inside, realizing that if you've straightened out things inside, whatever things weigh the mind down are no longer to weigh it down. And John Suat once asked, that mountain over there on the east, is it heavy? You know, when John asked a question like that, it's a trick question. So nobody answered. So he gave the answer himself. He said, if you try to lift it up, sure, it's heavy. If you just leave it there, it's heavy in itself, but if it's not heavy on you, that's what matters. We go through life carrying so many things like that. We're afraid to put them down, we're afraid that we'll have nothing left. But the Buddha is saying, no, when you put these things down, the mind is free. It's not restricted, it's not confined. We're trapped by our attachments. The image they gave at the time was fire. The belief was that fire was an element that existed in a latent state all over. And if you provoked it, say, with a fire starter, it would light up, and then it would latch onto its fuel. That's the quality of fire. It clings. And as it's burning, it clings to the fuel. It's when it lets go, that's when the fire goes out and returns to a peaceful state. In other words, the fire is trapped by its own clinging. The fuel doesn't trap the fire. The same way the things that we cling to that hold us down, it's because we're clinging to them. that the mind is agitated. That's when the mind lets go. That's when it's free. So it's either some of the treasures you can take with you. They're not things that you can pack in a bag. But they are good habits to have, so no matter where you land, where your karma takes you, you can start doing good. So many of us think that if I do good in this lifetime, then I go to a future lifetime and I'll be able to rest and not have to do any work. That's going to be bad for you. Imagine what it's like to be up in heaven where some of the heavens where the devas are pretty lazy. They think of something and it comes. They want a certain kind of food, there's the food. They want a certain pleasure, there's the pleasure. Imagine what that does to your character. You get lazy. You feel entitled. And then when you fall from there, it's going to be a hard fall. All those good things that you did end up destroying you. But if your attitude is that I'll keep on doing good here and develop good habits, and then wherever I go, I'm going to keep on doing good. That attitude is what keeps you safe. You can develop attitudes like that. The happiness that comes from having them is something, as I said, that you can share. You do good in the course of the day. At the end of the day, you think of anybody you would like to share that merit with, anyone who's passed away. As I said, if they know of what you've done and that you're sharing it with them, that makes them happy. That happiness then becomes their goodness. They're more likely to pass some goodness along. It becomes even better. Because as I said, the nature of goodness is that it doesn't have any boundaries. It's not depleted by sharing. It's like having a lit candle in your hand. Someone else has a candle that's not lit. You light their candle. The flame on your candle is not diminished. Now you have the light of two candles. The world is a brighter place.